Okay, so if you remember, we were talking about the halachot of bathrooms. So now the Gemara says, I'm a Rabbi Akiva. And if you remember, we spent a long time on this in Agadata last year on the role of lived experience as a source in halacha and went through many examples, specifically this one. Do you remember this?
Yeah.
Yeah, this was the end of the year, right? And we talked about how the Gemara uses the lives of the Talmid Chacham as a makor in the same way it uses text, which is fascinating. Right, so this is the example that Amar Rebikiva. Rebikiva says, Nechnasti achar Rebbi Yeshua lirota ma'aseh. I followed Rebbi Yeshua to see him doing, you know, whatever. Amar lo mara'ita. Amar lo, what did you see? So some say that he, you know, when it, so interesting, the Mefarshim say, well, according to Rebbi Akiva, these halachot don't apply if there's walls around the bathroom, which explains that he didn't follow him to the bathroom. He, like, hid in the field where he used his bathroom. I'm like, does that make it better? I don't know. I really don't know if that makes it any better. Yeah. It's definitely not ears. Ma Ra'ita, what did you see? Amar lan Ra'itiv Yoshev Vitsido Klape Marav. I am sitting facing west. Vilo Pira Adshe Yashev. And he didn't uncover himself until he sat down. Adshe Shivshev. Vilo Yashev Adshe Shivshev. And he didn't sit down until he had wiped off the area so he wouldn't get dirty. Or alternatively, according to others, until he tried to move around his bowels a little bit physically with his hands so that it would be easier to go to the bathroom. Lo kinech b'yamin el b'smol. He didn't use his right hand, he used his left hand to wipe. What? So that's the other thing here, is that the line between halacha and good advice and health and stuff like that is also not always so clear in the Gemara, because as we've talked about, the Gemara is more holistic than that. And we've talked about this a lot in Agadat Yashir over the years.
Especially in Yiddish at home.
Yeah. So Av Shimon ben Azai, however, again, and Shimon ben Azai says, well, that wasn't enough for me. Rabbi Akiva went for Rabbi Yeshua, so I went to watch Rabbi Akiva. Nichnas yachar Akiva l'radamasa. Amru lo mara ita amru lemri. Div yoshev etzidu klapei mara v'lo parah etz yashav. V'lo yoshev etz yashav. V'lo kenech v'yad yamin ele bismal. Yes, this is what I learned from my Rabbi Rabbi Akiva, is that you should storm the bathrooms when your Rabbi is there. Good lesson. Yeah, exactly. Tani, lo yikanez adam laharabayit b'minalo. Do not come into harabayit with your shoes of avexal raglav and the dirt, the dust on your feet, uvimotav etzurim b'sidino, and your money. In your money belt, and again, I don't want to go through the whole sugya, but if you remember, we had the sugya on Psachim and Davchet, Dav Zion, rather. On Dav Zion is, well, if you're not allowed to bring money to Harabaya, then how is it that there's, right? So according to the Rambam, it was, no, there really isn't an issue to bring money, but it has to be money that was redeemed, right? Right, and that was based in the Rishonim and Shkalim, whereas Tosfot says, no, it's only, you can't carry money openly, or the Tosfot Chachmei Anglia went farther and said, no, you can only not bring money if you're actually planning on doing business. And I mentioned to you that La Halacha, the Archa Shulchan Paskins like Tosfot, that you're allowed to bring money in private, and many of the people who go to Har HaBayit are Mekel like the Archa Shulchan, but Rechai Moser is not. He Paskins like the Rambam, Rak Shatida. So, Tani, Lo Yikanez Adem La HaBayit V'menalo V'avak Shal Raglav. Honestly, I told you when I gave that share that it was up to me, we'd make a share against cell phones. That's obviously the first thing that they should do on Har HaBayit, is get a box like that and say, you are not bringing your cell phone onto Har HaBayit. I understand that now you're not allowed to bring a sitter. That's the only way you can have a sitter. I get it. Okay, fine. What? Blah, blah, blah. Okay, I'm not getting this. I've never been there. I don't know. Avak Shal Raglav, Amadav Etzurim Misadino Vafun Danto. Which, again, we talked about is either the money belt or, like, going in just a t-shirt and boxers, right? Like you know, the undergarments, the sweat, you know, sweat garments or whatever. I love mi bachutz, because that is a bizayon. And again, that was machlok Rashi Rambam. What is the afundah? And how does that affect this the machloket of hidden money, etc.? So matam, why? How do you know you can't go on with dust on your feet? Because you have to wash your feet when you go up to God's house. So now the Gemara says, well, you can't spit. I mentioned yesterday, just briefly, right? Mordechai was asking about the connection to Halachot and Shul. The Badli has much more discussion about the implication of these laws for Shul. The Rishonim doesn't really. But just in general, some of these Halachot apply in Shul, some do not. Most do not. Most of these do not. And the Rav, and I've said this before, right, his basic lamdus, which is beautiful, is that, yes, both of them are places where man meets God, but conceptually, the Beit HaMikdash is where we go to God's house, and the shul is when God comes to our house. And therefore, the level of kavod required in a shul is that which is honorable and has dignity in a normal human being's house. And therefore, So normally people wear shoes in your house, and therefore it's fine. However, and Rosh Hashanah posited this way, that in a place like Toronto, where the minhag ha'olam is to take off your shoes when you come into somebody's house, that's the standard minhag. So you don't have to decide to take off your shoes, but definitely if you're coming in like galoshes, you're coming in snow boots, and you have second shoes, which is what people do, right? They have more than one pair of shoes. They have shoes they wear inside, they wear outside. If you wouldn't wear those muddy, snowy galoshes in somebody's house, you would switch into other shoes. You must do that in shul.
Really?
Because that is the norm. Right? It's not true in New York, but that is the minhag, and it's definitely not true in Israel, because why is it not true in Israel? No. So one of the main reasons, I think, in Israel is because, well, first of all, it's not as rainy, but also because we have tile floors, which are easier to clean than a carpet. And so in that sense, right, you have to really know the mitzvah.
Wait, Rabbi, does that literally mean your feet or like your?
It's feet, meaning they're walking barefoot.
Do they have like cleaning areas outside of Harbay?
I guess, I don't know. Rabbi Yoshi b'Yehuda Omer Reyomer Vayavoat Shar Lefnei Shar HaMelech Kin Lavo Shar HaMelech Lavo Shak. What's the source for this? For the issue of spitting and the like is from Mordechai, that Mordechai couldn't come onto Harbay in sackcloth. Couldn't go to Achashverosh's house in Kal Vachomer. Im lefnei melecha srecha, kein, ach, hamakom, lefnei hamakom. Now, most Mepharshim assume that since this is being brought for spit, that somehow this is like Kal Vachomer. It's like, the point is that you show you have to be honorable and not bring things that are disgusting to our bite, and spinning is even worse than wearing sackcloth. The Fein Ayin says, no. Maybe the Gemara is adding a halacha here, is that you can't wear sackcloth in the Beit HaMikdash, literally, that if it's not honorable in Achashverosh's court, then it's not honorable in the Beit HaMikdash. So now the Gemara moves to the shortcut. Lo yazak kapandari or tika mikal v'chomer, you can't spit. Umam ni'ila, he shall kavod. If wearing shoes, which is basically honorable, and nevertheless, at Omer Asr, we say it's Asr on Harabai because there's a higher standard. And again, as we talked about, that's the Rav's point, is that it is honorable. You wear shoes in someone's house, it's not dishonorable. It's just not the highest level. It's not what you do in kadosh places. But that's the difference between Beit HaMikdash and a shul. Rikika shehi shall be zayon l'kol shekein. Spitting is, you know, disgusting. So you should not do that. And last time you guys explained to me why, nevertheless, I see people spitting in shul, because right, apparently it's a thing. Okay. Tani. Lo hayu onin amen v'Beit HaMikdash. They did not say amen in the Beit HaMikdash. My omrin. Instead, they would say, Baruch Shem Kivon Malchuto l'olam v'ed. Now, why would they do that? So some say that the reason is because, this is what the Maharsha suggests, because they said Shem Hashem properly, and therefore it requires a greater response than Amen, because you heard Shem Hashem. You know, like we have in Yom Kippur, they fell on their face and said, Baruch Hashem, Kodama. Now, this only works if you think that in every bracha, they said Shem Hashem, as it is written, which is what Tosfos Yeshanim says in Yom Malametet. However, many other Yeshanim disagree with this, and said it was only in Yom Kippur. And if that, right, that's the Ritva's position. And if that's the case, then you have to come up with some other explanation. And some say, well, perhaps it's a response from the fact that the bracha is longer, because as we said, you don't say bracha to Hashem, you say Elokei Yisrael min ha'olam v'ad ha'olam. So if we're extending the bracha, it requires a bigger response or something like that. So according to some Rishonim, you don't have it. And I've mentioned to you in the past that in some weird Ashkenazi things, this is among the weirdest things I ever heard. And I asked Dr. Kanefogel about it once, because I found it in the Rav Yah, that he said, oh yeah, everybody knows that in our shuls, when we do Birkat Kohanim, we say Shem Hashem as it's written. I'm like, everyone knows what? What is going on? And this is part of a very, and Professor Jeffrey Wolf has written extensively about this, that the Chachmei Ashkenaz took it very seriously, the idea of Mikdash Ma'at, that shuls were Beit HaMikdash, and all types of interesting explanations of this. I don't know. They do all types of interesting things. It manifests itself in the weird ways and in terrifying ways, right? Like during the Crusades, some of these Crusade texts that we have of people martyring their children, they would martyr them in the Aron and say, like, let this be kapara and, like, offer them as, like, I mean, like, they were really into this. They didn't make this. Yes.
I don't think we would
martyring
do that in
their children?
Well, themselves too, but first they would kill their whole family to not convert them, they would kill themselves.
Like
so they were.
Zadistan?
What? Zadistan? No, to prevent being converted. So, Tani. But the point is that that some people took it very extreme, even not in Beit HaMikdash, and some people were limited even in Beit HaMikdash. Tani, lo yonah amen Beit HaMikdash, my omen baruch shem kodesh olam, v'nayin shel yom amen HaMikdash, how do you know? Talmud lomar, kumu baruch kodesh shem v'lgechem in ha'olam v'yad ha'olam v'yarech hoshim kvodecha. Right, so you don't say, right, it's come bless God. Right, so again, you're responding to this, right, when you have the longer for the bracha, so that is vivarchut kvodecha, that the proper response is a bracha, not just amen. Minayin akol bracha bracha, how do you know for every bracha? Tamil lomar morem akol bracha otila, because on every bracha you would raise up God. Amri b'shua diromaya, shua from the south says, shlosh dram gazru beidin shol limatan. This we did in Agadah 4 years ago, when we did Menacha. Fun times. I've loved giving Agadah, I must say. One of my favorite shirim I've given over the 5 years I've been in Migdal. Three things that God agreed, that the Beit Din of human beings decreed, and God said, Shkoyech, I agree. I'm putting my stamp of approval on. One, one was putting Yericho, the cherem around Yericho that Yeshua put on it. Now that is an amazing statement by the Yerushalmi. Why? No, because we end up losing the next war because we violate the cherem, which means God agreed to it so much that even though we made it, we end up suffering the consequence, right? You think of what Chazal are doing by putting that in, that it's not God who told them to the cherem. We decided it, and then we get punished. Okay.
Don't worry about
it. Umigil and Esther, the entire institution of Purim, which of course you have in the Bavli also, right? Etc. Ushaila Shalom B'Shem, and the idea of greeting people with B'Shem Hashem. No. Like in the Mishnah, right? Like Shalom Aleichem, Shalom B'Shem, right? Boaz, what's the proof? Because Chata Yisrael v'gamra v'ruet briti. How do we know? Well, exactly what I just said, is that God calls it his brit and punishes the Jews for violating it. V'chilo Yoshua Gazar, wasn't Yoshua who said it? How do I know? Right, and yet God says briti asher tziviti. And melamed sheskimu beit din shomala imohen, which shows that God agreed to it. However, in the Bavli, this is not there. Right, in the Bavli, this is not one. We have this idea that God agrees to our gzera, but this is not one of them. Megillat Esther, so this is amazing, in the Bavli, Kimu v'kiblu, in Shabbat Peched, is evidence of what? Kimu mashi kiblu kvar, that the Jews re-accepted the Torah. He says, no, Kimu v'kiblu, Rav Amar v'kibel k'tiv. What is v'kibel? The Vav. Sorry, why does it say, why is it a kriyu k'tiv? It lacks the last Vav, because it's not v'kiblu, it's v'kibel. God accepted him. Alam she iskimu beitin shalmala imohen. Ushela shalom b'shem. And the idea of greeting your friend with the shem Hashem. How do you know that God agreed to it? Because when the malach came to Gidon, he greets him b'shem Hashem, which shows that God sent his angel and the angel followed the protocol that was established. So that's a very interesting question, right? Is that Chazal, right? We know that Boaz in the time of the Shoftim, and the question is when, right? So this puts it at before, which is interesting because other Midrashim put him as Ivtzan, which puts him later. Unless you say that Boaz was reflecting a Xer or something. Okay. Rabbi Avin Mishim Yeshu ben Levi, Afa Maas wrote, also Maaser. What Maaser? Shenemar Avi would call him Maaser. Now, what exactly this means? So this may be the notion that Truma Bismanaze is Derabanan, right, for all the reasons we dealt with in Shviat last year, because the lack of full Kedusha and Kedusha Ezra, right, because of Biashnia, right, and then it wasn't Biat Kulchem. But the idea that nevertheless we accept Truma and Maser, then God agrees with it, that is what it is working on. That's how many of the Mepharshim understand this. However, the Rash and the Ri say no. Truma is de'oraita bisman hazeh. Again, we did this last year, so you guys should. Right, the question is, what is the maskana? And they focus not on the fact that truma is d'oraita, but that they extended truma to species that are not chayav d'oraita, because d'oraita is only dug on tirosh v'yitzar, and they extended it to other species as well. The charedim has a totally different understanding, which is that no, it was, and we talked about this last week in Shir. Yeah, last week in Shir, is, as remember we saw, uvechanuni v'avazot, you're allowed to test God when it comes to tzedaka. So the Haredim says that's what God accepted, is that man came up with this idea that you can test him on tzedaka, and God said, okay, fine, fine, deal. On this you can take it. So now the Gemara says, ma'u ad b'li dai. The pasuk then says, I'll give you bracha. What's ad b'li dai? Rabbi Yosef Rishon Bar Ba B'Shem Rabbi Yochanan Davar Shi'efsher Lomar Dai. Something you can't say enough about via bracha. I'm going to give you more and more bracha. Rabbi Rechav Rabbi Bar Eloi B'Shem Rav Ad Shi Balusif Dodechem Lomar Dayenu Bracha Dayenu Bracha. I'm going to give you so much bracha that your lips are going to wear out from saying enough, and your mouth will just fall apart because you're saying enough so much. Now the Gemara goes back to the pasuk that it quoted in the Mishnah. Al tavos ki zaknaim echa. Don't be embarrassed or don't despoil because your mother is old. What does that mean? Amri Yosi Barbon im nityashnu divrei Torah beficha. Even if the Torah is old, you've been reviewing it over and over. Al tivzalei and don't leave them. A time of al tavos ki zaknaim echa. Just because they're old, don't abandon them. Amri Uzera im nizdaknoi umatecha. If your nation has become weak. An elderly in the Kima Mitzvot, Amod Vigodra, get up and protect the Mitzvot. Kishem Sha'asa Elkanah, Shemadrach and Shalafame Regalam, right? This is a Midrashic idea that Elkanah, every year he would go up to the Mishkan. What would he do? He would, as he would go through the cities, he would make it very, very public. He was going and people would say, what are you doing? And he'd say, I'm going up to Harabayit. Why don't you come with me? I'm going up to the Mishkan. Come with me, Kobi. Come with me, Dovi. And they would come. So, Hadu Dechtiv Allah Izahu Meiro, .. He would go up, he'd bring everyone. Great. Eight La Sot La Shem Efer Torah Decha. What does it mean? It's time to act for God so they nullify the Torah. Rav Natan Mesaris Krah, he would switch around the Pasuk, as we have in the Mishnah. Efer Torah Decha, Eight La Sot La Shem. People are being made for the Torah. It's time to work for God. Rav Chilki B'Shem Rabbi Simona, Osa Torato Itim. If you make your Torah Itim and you only do it sometimes, Hareza Mefer Brit. Ma'atayma, Efer Torah Decha. What does it mean to be made for the Brit? This is an amazing drasha. Eight lasot lashem. If you say, oh yeah, now is God time and later is not God time, that is destruction. That is giving up on the Brit of Torah. The way here I was listening to Ray Rosner, and he quoted someone who said, I'll be drasha, is that eight lasot lashem, if you think that the Torah is subject to certain times, not like in your day, but like is dated, rather than relevant in all ages, that is Afaret Brit, which is a nice drasha as well. Tani Yerushim Rechai Omer, Imra'ita et Abriyot Shinit Ashu Demin HaTorah. Amod, it's Chazik Bamod. If you see people are giving up on Torah, get up, strengthen it. Va'ata Mekabel Schar Kulam, and you'll get reward for everyone. Ma Taima Efer Tardecha It Lasot Lashem. The in the footnote here, they quote an interesting thing from the Sefer Chasidim, that it's not just that people aren't learning any Torah, but if people aren't learning all the Torah. So if people aren't learning Kachem, you have to learn Kachem. If people aren't learning Yerushalmi, then you should learn Yerushalmi. When I was in graduate school, I actually wrote a paper on Sefer Chasidim's approach to Talmud Torah, which is a, I mean, I can show you the other proofs in Sefer Chasidim, but is a like a corporate model, right, where the Jewish people are viewed as one unit, and therefore he doesn't just think in your accomplishments of Torah, he thinks of as a community, what are your responsibilities to Torah, and therefore he has a lot of places where he has ideas like this, that if people are doing one thing, you have to complete the picture. It's fascinating. I loved researching this in Sefer Chasidim, and not all of it is in the Margoliot. Some of them is in the Parma, so you have to look through the Parma, which is the different manuscript of Sefer Chasidim. Anyways, Hillel Zaken Aya Bisha. When people are holding the Torah close to their chests, spread it out. And when it's being spread out, Kenosh. V'chein ayel omer reid at Torah shi chaviv al Yisrael. When people love it, it calls mechava badar. So spread it out. V'im lav Kenosh. And if not, hold on to it. Don't teach it to someone who doesn't care. Interestingly, in Avot Rabbi Natan, it assumes that the first mission in Perkei Avot of Hamidu Talmidim Harbei is actually a machloket, Hillel and Shammai. Because Hillel thinks that there are times to spread out the Torah and Shammai doesn't. Shammai's like, no, you only teach the elite. And therefore that's actually a machloket. So this is following, so this isn't just something happened to say, but it's actually subject to a machloket. Amri Lazar Mat, you know, Gazet Sarklenek Bekal Shasha Beyom. Just like a baby has to nurse at all times of day, kach kol adam shebi yisrael tzarach ligah b'torah b'chol shaot shebiyom. So you have to learn all day. And again, right, this is like a beautiful metaphor, right, that Torah is like the mother's milk. So it's very sensitive. You have to have it right away, you need it not just to survive, but to grow, right? All types of interesting images come from this. Rabbi Yonah b'Shem, and elsewhere we have it also, right? You know, we have this as well, the mashal that more than the baby wants to nurse, the mother wants to nurse, as a description for Tamid Chachamim who are willing to risk their lives to teach Torah, right? This is in the Rabbi Kiva one or Chinim Mendoza one of them. Rabbi Yonah b'Shem Rabbi Yossi ben Gzeira kol pititaya b'Shem, all chatter is bad. But chatter of Torah is good. And Chaim Kanievsky here says something amazing, which is, yeah, even like verts that are not true. You know how like sometimes we come up with like very clever, like, you know, like
Perm Gemaras.
Like not even Perm Gemaras, but like you come up with like these wild things and like, you know, he's like, that's what it means, is that like playing around with Torah is good. Like, even though it's not true, right? There is a benefit to having some fun. Right, exactly. Things like that. Kol gidvaya tavin. All lies are which are for making peace are good. But lying about Torah, bad. Right? And according to Yamshul Shlomo, if you lie about Torah, it's Yehard Valyavor, right? You're not allowed to do that. Right? We talked about this. Oh, did we talk about that? I mean, I did. I gave share on this years ago. Oh no! 5 years ago. Wow, it was my first year in Migdal. I remember who was in the shir. It was Tucker and Morty and whatever, and not you, Morty Cohen, Mati rather, Mati Cohen. We were talking about that. Yom Shlomo, right? Why in the Gemara and Bava Kamma, the Romans came to learn Torah and they said we love the whole Torah except that the halacha that if a Jew's property damages a non-Jew, he's pater, and vice versa, he's chayev, that's racist. And Yom Tov Shlomo says, well, why didn't they just lie about that? That's a really dangerous thing to tell the Romans. He says, aha, you see that Ziyuf HaTorah is Yehar Gval Yavor. Moshe Feinstein pushed back on this. Many posts can push back in it. Shear for another time. Amar Rishim and Lakish. I mean, I can send you the shear. I gave it 5 years ago. Amar Rishim and Lakish. B'Megilat Chasidim Matsu Katuv. In the Megilat Chasidim, who knows what that is. Yom Dazveni Yomayim Azvek. If you leave me for a day, I'll leave you for two. It's a mashal like this. The Shnayim Shiyatu Echem Tver Echem Mitziparin. His people went from Tver and Tziparin. Upagu Zeb Zeb Echadim Mashkanan. They met each other at an inn. Well, the speaker of the first Zeb 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 Zeb. And they separated, but they went in opposite directions. Even though they went one meal, Nimtze Rechokin Zeb Zeb Shnei Milen. And therefore, if you leave the Torah, right, it will be as twice as far from you as you think you have distanced yourself from it. Or another mashal, the Isha Shaita Yushevim Maten Isha, a woman who was waiting for a man called Manchaita Bedadli Nasi, like Yushevim Maten Lo. As long as she planned on marrying him, she waited for him. Came and she died to a man, but once he stopped thinking about her, he hayto lechiv and he said lacher, she married someone else. Right, and then this is more radical because it's possible you'll never get it back. Not just that it'll be too far, but you'll never be able to get it back, just like this woman is now married to someone else. Tani b'shem Remeir, ein lecha echad miyisrael she'eino osa mea mitzvot b'chol yom. Again, we did this 4 years ago in Menachot. There's no one who doesn't do 100 mitzvot every day, and what he means is brachot. And why mitzvot are brachot, and the 100 brachot is a very interesting question. But korei shema mevarech lefanei lacharav, ochel pito mevarech lefanei lacharav, which is also interesting. Rav Yoel Ben-Nun points this out, that it seems like eating is actually integrated into your day as part of the mitzvah, right? Because birkat hamazon is integrated. The Rav has an article in the Masorah Journal where he argues that it's not just you have a mitzvah, say 100 brachot, it's 100 brachot al seder hayom. It's actually a din in tefillah, And therefore, having meals which are normal are somehow integrated into that structure. So it's not just random bracha. And there's no person who isn't surrounded by mitzvah, tefillin berosho, tefillin bizro, mezuzah bepitcho, right? Your tefillin on your head, your arm, mezuzah, arba tzitzio, betalito makifinoto is tzitzit. Seven things I have praised you for these seven mitzvot. Right, very famous story that David goes into the bathhouse. Rod Atma Aram, he's naked. Amar Oily Shani Aram and a mitzvot. Oh, I'm naked of mitzvot. Kevin Shabit Mila Shalom. He said, no, I have a Mila. Hitchel Akazaka Lishbarku. He praises God. Shminit Mizmorla David. No, I will finish the Gemara, but. Who is making the siyum? Who's saying the Kaddish? You're finishing the Gemara. You're making the Kaddish? Okay, so Morty, if you were reading along with me, stop reading now. I will read it to you, and you will finish this later. And the Rishami finishes as the Bavli does. Is Amar Elazar B'Shem Rav Chanina, Talmidei Chachamim Marbim Shalom Be'alam, Talmidei Chachamim increase peace in the world. Ma Tam, how do you know? V'chol Banayech Limudei Hashem, V'rav Shalom Banayech. The drush, as people point out, is from it being banayich, meaning those who understand, right? Those who understand you, and those are the time you didn't chachamim hadron alacharo v'chasalt masechet brachot. We'll make the siyum at lunch. It's not the full thing. Yeah, this is the same. It's basically the same drasha.